Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
When you find it, I praise the Lord. Probably one of my favorite teachings out of the book of Revelation, because it speaks of the dispensation of the church age. And many, many pastors and eschatologists and preachers believe that we are actually the church of this church that we're going to be speaking about here in a few moments, the Laodicean church. And so we're looking at Revelation 3 and 20, and the Bible says, "Behold," everybody say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Amen. Today we're going to be talking about a message we've entitled, "Someone is Coming." Look at your neighbor and tell him, "Someone is coming." Someone is coming. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. And let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this privilege to be in your house. Let your word go forth in power and in demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, we ask you today that you will continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance, whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written. Give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we'll bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I want to begin this first segment this morning, and I want to tell you that I believe that before someone comes, something will come. I'm going to say that one more time because I want you to hear what I'm having to say this morning. Before someone comes, I believe that something will come. There is something that is brewing on the horizon. How many can believe that today? As a believer and as a child of God, God has given us this innate ability to believe and to feel, an unction to function, a inward, as the Greek word says, esso, an inward man, an inner man that warns us of perhaps that danger is on the horizon, or there's a big change that is going to be happening in our world. And I think everyone in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about, can feel that someone is coming, but before someone comes, something is going to happen. Let me show you what the book of 2 Timothy says. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." How many believe we are living in perilous times? This word perilous simply means troubling. It means violent. It means a hard to bear season. How many can say, Pastor JC, for the last few months or maybe even longer than that, I have had to battle my way through life. I've had to fight the good fight of faith. I had to remind myself to keep the whole armor of God on. I had to put on this breastplate of righteousness. I had to put on the belt of truth. I had to have this armor on because I know that the enemy is lurking and he's trying everything he can to try to discourage me, or to, even as Pastor Crystal alluded to destroy my life. Been in a fight. We've been in a war. We have been fighting this fight, and there's a reason that's happening is because we are in the last days. Jesus is coming very soon. Perilous times, though, if we're living in dark times, and if we're living in troubling times, and we're living in perilous times, then what we need is victorious believers. How many can say this morning, I'm not going to be a victim anymore through the crisis of my life and the chaos that I face. I'm no longer a victim. I am a victorious believer in Jesus Christ. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I serve a God that I know greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Am I the only one that can stand in the face of adversity and in the face of sickness and trials and confusion and perplexities, but stand before an awesome God and give and quote and breathe the scripture, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him? I know I'm not alone in this room. I know that everyone in this room can believe that God is with us. We're victorious. If you look at the book of 2 Peter, this is interesting. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, there's a scripture that's very interesting. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, he asked this question. He says, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know what this verse is actually telling us? It's basically telling us this. Since everything will be destroyed, since there's going to be a lot of trouble in these last days, he says, what kind of people should we be? What kind of people should we be? Remember what we said last Sunday in the message, Courage Under Fire. We said if the church is not relevant in times of crisis, it will never be relevant in time of peace. And so we have to question ourselves in these hard times that we're in. What kind of person am I going to be? Am I going to be a person of victory or am I going to be a person of defeat? I read in my word that God says we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. That God is with us. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against us, He shall condemn. I serve an awesome God. What kind of people should we? Well, this is what it says. He says we ought to live holy and godly lives. You know, that's not a very popular message in churches today. When you talk about holiness, when you talk about godliness, we want to talk about what feels good, what really caters to our personality, what caters to helping us feel good about ourselves. God, help us today. Because we want your word. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Eternity is way too long to be wrong. And so we need people today who are set free from sin and living for Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today that Jesus has set us free from sin. He has made us free. He has given us this great power of deliverance. He has broke the chains of all insecurity, of fear. He has broke the chains of racism. He has broken the chains of poverty. He has broken the chains of sin upon our lives. And He wants us to remain free in Him. I believe someone is coming. I believe someone is coming. Have you ever, come on, let's be honest here. Have you ever had a guest arrive unannounced? How did that make you feel? How did that make you feel? Were you prepared for that guest to come? Or did you feel a little awkward? Did you feel a little out of place? Like, oh man, I wish I had done the dishes. I wish I had removed the cat. You know, what goes in the litter box. I wish I had sprayed. I wish I had lit a candle. I wish I didn't. And then they come and you're like embarrassed. Now you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, oh man, what have I done? But that is a lesson in life. Because someone is coming and God wants us to get prepared. He wants us to be prepared for what is going to be taking place in our life. And someone has come. But before that someone comes, something will come. I believe that God has been warning the church for years about this. Something is coming. I believe that He's been warning the church for years that perilous times are with us. And we're surrounded by that. And I like what 2 Timothy says in the Message version of this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. This is the Message version. And it really coruscates what I'm trying to convey today. It says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous appearance, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderous, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Boy, that brings a lot of things to light. Amen? The perilous times that we're in are calling for a godly people. We are the church. We should not have to bow and feel like we're defeated in these hard times that we're in. We're victorious. And I've read in my Bible where Jesus says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Oh, thank God today for that truth. Amen. While other people are running and hiding. And I'm not against preparing. I'm not against for being a prepper and putting food away and getting your money situated and paying bills off. I'm not a problem. I have no problem with that. The Bible says in Proverbs that the prudent foresees the evil and prepares. And so I realize that. But I do have a problem with people who are just running and hiding. You cannot outrun the judgment of God. While other people are running and hiding, God is calling the church. Aren't you glad to be the body of Christ today? Aren't you glad that God is calling us? He is shaking us. Reach over to your neighbor and shake him a little bit and say, hey, that's God getting us our attention. He's getting us. He's preparing us. He's trying to get our attention. I believe that God is calling the church. He's calling us. And what I hear from my esso, this inward man, I hear the sound of the trumpet. I hear the sound of the shofar. I hear the sound of the mighty rushing wind. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain that God is saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. Something's coming. And I'm preparing you for it. My prayer is this. Father, break every chain in our lives. Break every chain in this place. Perilous times need victorious believers. Well, I believe before that someone comes, something will come. Amen? Revelation 3 and 20, our key text was this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Before someone comes, something will come. I like this text because I was raised Baptist until I was the age of 16. And my grandmother Brown, very staunch Baptist, loved God with all of her heart, used mighty with God. She had a picture, a big portrait in her living room. And I always thought about that portrait, and many of you have probably seen it. It's a famous picture of Jesus standing before a door. Has anybody remember that picture? And what people like to point out, I don't remember who painted this picture, but they like to point out there was no doorknob on this door. That it was our response to him. That's what that painting basically was. But Jesus is standing before the dock, and he's about to before the door, and he's about to knock on the door. I love that picture of Jesus standing. But we need to ask ourselves this question on this verse, Revelation 3:20. Why is Jesus standing and knocking? You look at through all of the churches of Asia Minor, those seven churches. You look at all of those churches, you do not see that description. This is the only church that you see Jesus described as standing before their door and knocking. Even in the book of John, you hear Jesus teaching that his sheep hear his voice. We understand that concept, but why is it different? As John is receiving this on the island of Patmos, why is this so different? What's the significance of Jesus standing and knocking? What does this have to do with anything? I believe this one reason, a very simple reason. It's called invitation. Invitation. Inviting. We say around here at Gospel Lighthouse Church that people are our greatest investment. We should never underestimate the value of a single person, because people are so valuable that Jesus Christ died on the cross for each one. Amen. That mean boss. Maybe that mother-in-law you don't get along with. Amen? But Jesus died for that person. Even the thousands of Sunnis and Shiite Muslims, hundreds of thousands, millions, Jesus died for them. The millions upon millions of Hindus, Jesus died for every one of them. Even those who are atheists and agnostic, and the billions that are in China, Jesus died. People are our greatest investment. I truly believe that. And so, the church of Laodicea was considered, and I really believe this, the reason Jesus comes and knocks on this door is he's put in Laodicea, he's basically throwing the ball in their court. The church of Laodicea was considered what? The lukewarm church. The church of Laodicea was considered the church of compromise. The church that would not. Read it for yourself in Revelation chapter 3. Read it for yourself. This is the church that would not make her mind completely up to serve God or to serve mammon or money. To serve God or to serve money. Let me ask you a question. Are we going to serve God or are we going to serve money? Well, you got quiet all of a sudden. But it's a good question. Look at Matthew chapter 6. This is how Jesus addresses money. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And this is the problem Laodicea had. It's a problem that we're seeing in our churches today. Trying to decide, who am I going to serve? God help us. I was in prayer about 3 months ago. A word came to my mind, and I've been very reluctant to even say anything about it because I don't want to try to impose fear on anyone. So what I'm about to say is not to scare you, but it's to prepare you. And as I was in much prayer, the Lord said bankruptcy to me. And when I heard that, I thought, oh Lord, what in the world? What is going on here? What do you mean by this? He basically is saying, this nation is on the brink of bankruptcy. The trillions and trillions of dollars, the deficit that this nation is in. A candidate is not our answer. Our answer is found in the King. We have been guilty, as I said before, we have been guilty of collectively and trying to unify the church around a person, around a candidate, around politics, around a political figure, when we should have always, from the day one, unified Gospel Lighthouse Church around the biblical figure of Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. I want to read this to you. It said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask of alms. Verse 4 says, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him and with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of who? Donald Trump? Kamala Harris? Elon Musk? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered into them with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God Oh, I wish I was there that day. Amen? But the church needs to realize something. The church needs to realize that before something comes, someone must be first and foremost in our lives. And this is how I see Sister Linda, who is incredible, very intelligent, who is the new owners of our Bible bookstore in Blytheville. But this is how I see things, Sister Linda. I see things as this. I see the church, we have made a transition. And we have been reaching for the silver and the gold. And we have not been reaching for Jesus, the King of Kings. I want to share a story with you. There was an Italian priest by the name of Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas lived in the mid-1200s. One day, Thomas Aquinas was having a discussion with Pope Innocent II. And while Pope Innocent II was counting a large sum of money, the Pope looked at Thomas Aquinas and said, "Look at this, Thomas. The church no longer has to say from Acts 3, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" Thomas Aquinas looked at the Pope and said, "That's true, Holy Father. But neither can the church say, 'Arise, take up your bed, and walk.' What you did was get the resources, but are not getting the miracles anymore." As we said last Sunday, people are not our resources. They are our result. And we have put so much emphasis on trying to get the silver and gold. Yes, I realize it takes money to do things. I understand that concept. Believe me, I understand it. But one thing God is putting His finger on in these last days: are we going to serve God or are we going to serve mammon? Are we going to make our mind up and say, "You know what? I'm coming today to praise and worship the God of gods. And if He doesn't give me a new job, if He doesn't give me a new car, if He doesn't give me new clothes, it's not going to matter, because I'm here about God. I'm here about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. I need a Savior." Amen. Something is coming. That something is someone. And today He's tugging at your heart this morning to completely surrender to Him. Completely. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I make this message this morning, "Someone is coming"? How can I make it count for life? How can I go from description to prescription? Our key text said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and he will sup with him, and will sup with him and he with me." Before someone comes, something will come. Amen? I'm looking for that something. I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is simply to respond to this invitation. To this invitation of Jesus. He's standing, Sister Haley, He's standing at the door and He's knocking. He said, "If any man hear my voice, let him come and be a part of my life." I had told a story several weeks ago, and I want to share it again. A little boy was flying a kite on a very cloudy day, and the kite kept getting higher and higher as he was flying this kite. It kept getting higher and higher, that eventually you couldn't see the kite. You couldn't even see the kite anymore. It had went so high. The kite had flown into these low-lying clouds. And then all of a sudden, a man came by. And he was just trying to be funny. He was just trying to be humorous to this little boy. Because what it looked like to this man, it looked like the boy had was just holding a string. That's what it looked like. That he was just holding a string, and the string was going up into the heavens. That's what it looked like to this man. Now, the man looked at the boy, and he said, "How do you even know there's a kite up there? You can't even see it. How do you know that there's a kite up in these clouds? How do you even know that it's there?" And this is what the little boy said. He said, "Because I can still feel the tug once in a while.
Yes.
Have you felt the tug of God this morning? God is tugging at us. I don't want to ever get to the point. I don't want to ever become so hardened. My heart becomes so hardened that I lose the tug of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to get so far, so consumed with the lasciviousness of life that I don't respond to the tug. God's tugging. He's tugging. You know what? The danger to not responding to God's tugging that He may not tug anymore. Or there could be a greater tug that's replaced God's tug. Tugging you the wrong direction. Tug you into the wrong things. God help us today. I like what Tim Keller wrote. He said, here's the gospel. He said, you're more sinful than you ever dared believe, but you're more loved than you ever dared hope. Meaning, God loves us regardless of how bad we've been, regardless of all the mistakes that we've made. You say, Pastor JC, you don't even know. Listen, I have been around long enough that I've seen almost everything that I could see. And yet I still watch God turn lives around.
Amen.
I've watched God take what people would say, this person's hopeless, and I've watched God turn lives around. Only God can do that. God, do that today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perilous times need victorious believers. Because something is coming. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Someone is coming. Now someone is coming. His name is Jesus. His coming is so soon. What if we all determine today? I'm going to answer the tug of God. He's at my door. He's knocking right now, and I'm going to answer. I'm not going to pretend that it's somebody else. I'm not going to just ignore His call. I'm going to answer that tug. If that's you today, while your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, with an uplifted hand, say, Pastor JC, pray for me. God is tugging at my heart. I see hands raised in this place. I'm going to invite Sister Anania, if she'll come. And I want her to come and I want her to pray in Spanish for our Spanish families that are here. If someone could bring me the other microphone and just stand right there, if you will. And we'll hand her the other pulpit microphone, if someone will bring that. While your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, I want her to pray over our Spanish families. Let me see it. And it's okay. It's just not turned on.
Señor Jesús, le damos gracias, Padre Santo, por este hermoso mensaje, mi Dios amado. Gracias, Padre bendito de la gloria, porque usted es bueno y maravilloso, Señor. Padre mío, glorificado y alabado sea su santo y bendito nombre, mi Rey. Le pido, Padre Santo, en esta hora, en el nombre precioso y maravilloso de Jesús, que las familias que han venido en este día, Padre Santo, sean, Padre bendito de la gloria, bendecidos con su hermosa presencia, Señor. Usted conoce cada una de la necesidad que hay en sus hogares, Padre. Sea usted glorificándose, Señor. Usted nunca llega tarde, siempre llega a tiempo, mi Rey amado. Toque sus corazones, Señor. Que ellos, Padre mío, Vayan, Señor, con esa paz que sobrepasa todo entendimiento, Señor. Que ellos no están solos y no están desamparados, mi Dios amado. Yo sé que usted va a abrir puertas de bendición, Señor. Y ellos van a poder testificar de sus grandezas, de sus maravillas, Padre Santo, como usted lo ha hecho con cada uno de nosotros, mi Rey amado. Gracias por su amor, porque sé que somos inmerecedores, Padre mío. Sé, Padre Santo, que por su amor y su bondad y su misericordia, mi Rey precioso, estamos aquí, Señor. Gracias porque podemos reunirnos, alabar y glorificar su nombre. Gracias, Señor, por la vida, Señor. Gracias por el aliento de vida, Señor amado, porque usted sopló aliento de vida sobre cada uno de nosotros, Padre mío. Gracias, Espíritu Santo. Mi alma le alaba y le bendice, Padre mío. Bendito sea su nombre, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Iglesia, amén. Aleluya. Gloria a Dios. I would like for you to come to the altar. Let us find a place and pray.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.